I'm Sarah Womby. The New South Wales Liberal Party is almost certain to lose the seat of Wagga Wagga for the first time in almost 60 years. Early results suggest the Liberals are bracing for defeat in the regional seat, with independent candidate Joe McGirr leading as the favourite and Labor tracking second. New South Wales Liberal State Director Chris Stone says on current projections, it will be very difficult for the party to get there. The Queensland Government has issued a stop order under the Heritage Act to preempt any plans to demolish an historic Brisbane pub destroyed by a suspicious fire. The late night blaze broke out in the Broadway Hotel in Woolloongabba 7 days ago. It was the third blaze at the heritage site, which was the subject of a $260 million development application in the past 8 years. Treasurer Jackie Trad says the community is sick of seeing Queensland heritage buildings destroyed. The hotel was built in the late 1880s and had been vacant for several years. More than a dozen Western Australian Perth Mint customers have been caught up in a data hack. More from Kim Cartwright.
Data has been taken from a third-party provider relating to 13 customers of the Mint's Precious Metals Depository online trading platform. Perth Mint Chief Executive Richard Hayes says customers were being advised on how to prevent the misuse of their personal information and stressed the Perth Mint systems remained secure. The Office of the Australian Information Commissioner and the WA and Federal Police were being informed of the data breach, which was discovered on Wednesday. We are working with the external third-party provider to understand how this breach occurred and have taken steps to remediate the identified threats, Mr. Hayes says. Kim Cartwright, Air News.
Also in news, Melbourne police are appealing for help to locate a missing 7-year-old boy. Xavier Jones was last seen in Glenroy about 6 last night. It's believed he may have been heading to a nearby skate park with a black and chrome Lucky brand scooter. And 7 men have been arrested after a large group refused police direction to disperse at Lidcombe Railway Station in Sydney's west. US President Donald Trump thinks he knows how to solve the trade gap between America and China with tariffs and tweets. He's threatened additional tariffs, especially on Apple, saying the easy solution would be for the tech firm to build their iconic products in the US. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
US President Donald Trump maintains he thinks trade is bad and has believed this for decades. The news that China holds a $30 billion trade surplus with the United States for August is what fuels these tweets, such as those directed at Apple. He said it's easy for the tech firm to avoid price increases due to the threatened tariffs on Chinese manufactured products. They should start building plants in the U.S. now. But the tweets and the threatened tariffs only underscore President Trump's limited economic knowledge, even as discussions with Canada and other nations continue. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And 21 people are dead after a tourist bus plunged into a ravine on Indonesia's main Java Island. This is Air News. The Wallabies have snapped a 4-match losing streak and relieved pressure on coach Michael Checker with a gritty 23-18 win over the Springboks. It wasn't pretty, but Australia overcame the disruption of losing Israel Folau and Adam Coleman earlier yesterday to grind out an important result and revive their rugby championship campaign. West Coast have produced a last gasp surge to pip Collingwood by 16 points in a nerve-jangling AFL qualifying final. The Eagles came from 10 points down at three-quarter time to win 12-14-86 to 10-10-70 last night in Perth and secure a home preliminary final. The Magpies will host at GWS in a knockout semi-final next Saturday. Eagles defender and captain Shannon Hearn says their strong defence was the difference between the two sides.
You need to kick goals, but at the same time, finals footy, you need to be able to defend well, and I thought we did that reasonably well.
Cronulla coach Shane Flanagan concedes it's unlikely co-captain Wade Graham will be fit to face Penrith in next week's NRL semi-final after he left Allianz Stadium on crutches. Graham went for scans late last night after he limped from the field early in the first half of the Sharks' 21-12 loss to the Sydney Roosters. The key forward exited following a fumble and collision in the lead-up to a Roosters try. And India are 6-174 against England at stumps in their first innings at Kennington Oval today. Australian Independent Radio News.
Hey, Mum, do you love a great coffee?
Yes.
Here, I'll make you one on this new Nespresso coffee maker. We've got so many beautiful coffee makers at Bingley. Mum, check out the styling, check out the craftsmanship, check out the coffee.
Lionel, slow down.
We've got everything you need to know about coffee, Mum. What would you like? Espresso, cappuccino, macchiato, ristretto, piccolo, latte, flat white, long black, short black, or mocha?
How many have you had today?
All of them.
Oh, I thought so.
If you love coffee, you'll love Bingley. I'm Lionel Lee.
I'm Yandley.
I'm Lionel Lee.
At Bingley, we recommend drink coffee responsibly.
Punters, footy fans, sports nuts. Don't miss your chance to join the who's who from the worlds of racing, NRL and AFL at the Big Sports Breakfast Grand Final Race Day Lunch.
Hosted by Loz and TK with your MC, Dave Stanley, you'll enjoy a sumptuous lunch, beverage package and entertainment from racing and sporting celebrities.
It all happens Wednesday, September 26th in the lead up to the Grand Finals and Epsom Day at the Grand Pavilion Rosehill Racecourse.
Tickets $165 for members and $175 for non-members. Available now from AustralianTurfClub.com.au.
Plays it quickly. Here's Katoa. Here's Cleary. Here's McKinney to Lizzie. And they've got numbers here. Peachy gives it away. They're over. Christian Crichton points it from relentless pressure from the Panthers.
John Melbourne has pulled off one of the biggest upsets in tennis history. Congratulations from Roger Federer.
Ball is ready from 30 out. Steps, puts the kick in. He's happy with it. Referee calls it a one-pointer. That's it. Roosters go to the preliminary final.
Elby, excellent move in for Kerr. Jared can't keep it out. And it's a fatal 15 for the Aussie. Chicago on their way to the NWSL semifinal.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a show with a difference today. My co-host Jimmy Smith is away. He's calling it upskilling. He's trying to improve himself. I don't know quite what that means, but fortunately for me, my co-host today is Phil Moss, A-League coach extraordinaire and one of the world's nicest guys. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. I don't know how you can upskill someone who's got all the skills in the world.
He's probably listening to that. He probably loves you saying that. But no, Jimmy's away doing his Master of Business, I think. So I hope he needs a weekend of study or something. So good luck to him. Glad you joined us, Phil, because it's been a massive week in sport. We've got a huge show coming up. But the NRL Final Series, it has been absolutely spectacular rugby league over the last 3 days, starting with the Storms 29-28 win over the Rabbitohs on Thursday night. These scores brought to you by Panthers. That was one of, if not the game of the season. And then yesterday, Penrith Panthers 27, the Warriors 12. The Warriors are now out. The Roosters 21 over the Sharks 12. Three classic games of football. This afternoon, the Broncos play the Dragons in another elimination final. Phil Moss, the football has been extraordinary.
It really has, Ray, and I guess the double-edged sword of the Storm South game is that it kicked the finals off in huge style, but it also set the bar very, very high. So you would hope the grand final at the end of it can at least match, if not better, that game. But I think the highlight for me has been seeing, you know, the big players stand up in the big moments for the teams that have got through. You think James Maloney for Penrith, you think Smith, Slater, and then Munster's field goal for the Storm, and Cooper Cronk last night for the Roosters was on a different level. And, you know, the move that he's made from Melbourne Storm to the Roosters created a lot of headlines, but it's on track to pay dirt to the Roosters.
Yeah, really good point. The game management on Thursday night with Cameron Smith, as you mentioned, and then the two big guns, Maloney, first year at the Panthers, brought there specifically to try and get premiership for Penrith. He took over that game, particularly in the second half, and Cooper Cronk was purchased by the Roosters to do one job, to win the premiership. And as you said, they all stood up.
Yeah, that's right. And the Maloney, and we'll talk in more detail, no doubt, as the show goes on, but the Maloney 40-20 was a big turning point, a big turning point. And Cooper Cronk, his game management, as you said, was just outstanding. And he pops up with a try and then so calm under pressure for that field goal, just to put them out of sight. And, Trent Robertson took a big punt, taking a player who'd been at a club for so long away from Melbourne and brought him to the Roosters. And last night, as I said, that justified the move already. But can he lead them to a premiership?
Yep, Broncos Dragons this afternoon, elimination final, an important game. The AFL final series in full swing. The first four finals have been completed. Extraordinary crowds in the AFL, Phil. I think it was the first time in AFL history, 290,000-plus crowds in successive days at the MCG. It's been extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. And I love the debate about the football codes and AFL is only played in one country. But, gee, don't we do it well. 90,000 at the MCG. What an atmosphere that was. And yeah, that's right. And they are sports mad down there in Melbourne. We know that they're the second state behind us in New South Wales. But
we've got one listener in Victoria, Trent Langscale. But he won't be too happy because his Hawks were beaten by the Tigers. Richmond do look on track to go back-to-back. 95-64 on the Thursday night, the first final. And then we saw the Demons eliminate Geelong. Melbourne, their first finals appearance in 12 years. They were terrific on Friday night, beating Geelong 75-46. The big Sydney derby last night, must admit, I didn't see much of it, Phil. I was driving home and I was sort of engrossed in the Penrith game. But the Giants looked really good, had some players come back. Toby Green was terrific, kicking three goals. Have beaten the Swans 79-30. The Swans eliminated from the final series. And over in Perth last night, West Coast Eagles go through to the prelim final, beating Collingwood 86-70. That means the Giants now go up against the Magpies next week in a sudden death.
Yeah, that's right. The highlight of the weekend, I guess, AFL, was for me, was seeing the joy of Melbourne getting through with such a young side. I think they had only four guys with September experience up against a Geelong side that had eight, I think. So that's quite remarkable in itself. And the Paul Roos influence at Melbourne, you could see that shining through, even though he's in the...
He set them up, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
He set up these young kids coming through. And
and you could see the pride in his face sitting on the panel post-game and how proud he was. He actually had tears in his eyes. And also yesterday, GWS, Davis put Buddy in his pocket.
Yeah,
he really did. That was a massive subplot of the game.
I think the Giants could potentially, I think they can beat Collingwood next week. They have to travel to Melbourne to beat them, but they've got their players back. As I mentioned, Toby Green was fantastic. Phil Davis is just a star. If they can somehow get past Collingwood, they will then have to go up against Richmond Tigers. So I think it's the Tigers' premiership to lose, but when you get into this competitive environment, deep into a final series, anything can happen.
That's right, and it comes down to the big moments, and as we spoke about before with the rugby league, the NRL finals, you know, big players seizing those big moments and doing the little things. Cooper Cronk's interview post-game last night was spot on. It's not about doing special things in big games. It's about doing the simple things very well, consistently, and executing the big plays that you've done all year under that intense pressure.
Really good point. In the Panthers-Warriors game, we discussed before on air, there was a vital moment which I think changed the game, and you agree, was the 40-20 by Maloney. Subsequent next set of six, Cleary kick through, Panthers score, back in the ball game. The Warriors kick off through Isaac Luke. They kick it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Panthers are right back on the attack. They scored three tries in 7 minutes. It changed the game. At this level of competition, finals time, any mistake is so crucial, isn't it?
That's right. And again, it's that guy Maloney who came up with a big play and young Nathan Cleary with a pinpoint grubber. But yeah, that the Warriors kicking out on the full is a coach-killing moment. And that's when your season can go up in smoke in a blink of an eye.
It did, and it has for the Warriors. Quick update on the tennis. Serena Williams is attempting to win her 24th Grand Slam title. She's on court now against Naomi Osaka. Naomi Osaka has won the first set 6-2 against Serena. Serena leads 2-1 in the second. She's off to a flyer, Osaka. Serena Williams is trying, as I said, to equal Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slam titles. And extraordinarily, the last time Margaret Court won a Grand Slam, her 24th Grand Slam, was on this day 45 years ago.
That's remarkable, isn't
Sports
it? Where's
synergy.
That all gone? How old was I? 3.
Oh, I'm a bit older than you.
That is remarkable. Sports but it just wouldn't be a final. It wouldn't. I mean, I'm sure there's been some played, but it wouldn't be a final without a Williams in there. And she has been remarkable for that sport. But she's up against it here, which is what finals are all about, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And at 37 years of age, she's attempting to become the oldest woman to win a Grand Slam as well. So she's had a storied career, and it's not over with yet. And the way Serena fights and fights, she's not out of this tournament at the moment. But leading 2-1 in the second set. Also, the major golf happening in the US, it's the BMW Championship, and Justin Rose is having a terrific round here in the third round. He's got it to 17 under. He's 6 under for the round. He's a shot in front of Xander Schauffele, who's at 16 under, 3 under for the round. The Australians, Jason Day's made a... He's still in contention. At this stage, he's currently 10 under, so he's 7 off the lead. He's 1 under for today's round. He's through 14. Tiger Woods, who began this tournament with a 62, which is his lowest round for many, many years in an opening round of a tournament. He's got it back to 12 under. He's 4 under for the day, so he's still in contention. I'd love to see Tiger win.
That's exactly right, Ray. I was just thinking that. The joy that I've got out of watching golf over the last sort of 6 months is seeing Tiger sort of rebuild his career and play with a smile on his face again. And, you know, we're all saddened
by... Do you think
by...
he's enjoying it?
Well, I think it's hard to enjoy your golf when you're Tiger Woods because there's so much scrutiny on the guy, and because of what's happened in his life and it's been so publicly played out, very hard to play with a smile on your face. But you do sense that he's back where he's most comfortable, which is on a golf course, and where it goes from here, who knows. But, it'd be Tiger Woods for one day.
I don't know if I'd like it. As you said, the scrutiny on him, but at least he's back playing consistent golf. He hasn't had a win this season, but he's been knocking on the door in the majors as well. He's back in the Ryder Cup. He's playing great golf here in the BMW Championship. I just think if one win, it'd be like a flood. Once he gets one breakthrough win, I think more will come. The Wallabies last night had a win. Phil, stop the presses, 23-18 against the Springboks. Thankfully breaking that 4-game losing streak. Look, the All Blacks are in a league of their own. We've got to admit that, but that was a pretty tough win by the Wallabies. Of course, South Africa, as we know, a very professional side, big side, monster forward pack, and we matched them.
Yeah, that's right, and some big selection decisions as well from Michael Checker that paid off. So, and that's the life of a coach. You've got to make big decisions and stick by them, and he got the win, so all credit to him.
And importantly, no Pocock and no Folau, probably our two best players, pretty much, arguably, and so to get that win was tremendous. Now, I've got to hit you with this one. Usain Bolt's had a week off. Has he just started training?
He has.
What's going on there?
Apparently it was a preordained commercial engagement that he has in France, and there is a school of thought that it's for Mum Champagne. And he is the CEO.
TV person or something, or?
He's the CEO of Mum Champagne, but it's Chief Entertainment Officer.
Oh, now, wouldn't you like one day in the life of Usain Bolt?
Yeah, that's right. No doubt saying it would be fast-paced, Ray, but if you'll pardon the pun. But, yeah, look, it's an interesting one. The whole Project Bolt has been really fascinating. And it's been, look, to this point, it's been fantastic from a point of view of getting the A-League on the world map, the Central Coast and the Central Coast Mariners, which we all know is a beautiful location in Australia. So that's been a win. His performance last Friday night, Friday week ago, was, you know, certainly raised some question marks over whether he'll be good enough. My opinion is no. I think he's got far too much to catch up on. 28 years, if you compare
it. How long do you keep going?
That's
experiment.
Right. They've said 12 months. Mike Mulvey has said he'll give him 12 months. Usain Bolt himself has said he'll need 4 to 5 months. We're well into the season by that stage. But
it'd be so difficult for him, wouldn't it, Phil, because he's such a high-profile sports person who's used to performing and excelling at the elite level. What does it do for his pride? I know he's trying his best, and this is a dream of his, and we saw people like Michael Jordan go to baseball and have a crack for a year, and he realised he wasn't going to cut it. When does Usain Bolt say to himself, I'm not going to make this?
Yeah, look, I think with what he's achieved as an athlete, he's sort of said this is a bucket list item that I'm prepared to go out and he's not risking anything really. He's got his career. He's got his Olympic gold medals. This is about proving to himself whether he's good enough to do it or not, and he's got an amazing inner self-belief, obviously, to achieve what he has achieved, and I think he genuinely believes. When you watch him interviewed, and I've spoken to a couple of guys up there who train with him every day, and they all say that he is absolutely determined to make this work, and it's genuine, and he's a very humble guy, a very genuine guy. I think it's a bridge too far for him, but and if you look at his performance last week, it was against a local side. With all due respect to Central Coast Select, they're part-time footballers, and he certainly struggled technically. Now, if
and
you
his
put
timing,
him,
that's right. Which is understandable.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing he did do was make a couple of good runs. So you can see that he understands the game to a certain degree, but you put that up against an A-League opponent, you know, with everything that goes with an A-League game, a higher intensity, and there's a long, long way to go.
Back to the US Open, and of course tomorrow morning Djokovic plays Del Potro. Quick update, Serena has broken through, up 3-1 in the second set, so that's that Serena fighting spirit. But the US Open earlier this week, we saw John Millman, he was knocked out by Djokovic, but in the previous round, in the fourth round, he defeated Roger Federer. Cinderella story stuff, wasn't it? He's a man who has been a journeyman in tennis. He's played in the challenge level. He's played in the futures circuit. I listened to an interview where he was saying he'd land in a country, have no money, so he'd become a club pro for a few weeks, just get enough money so he could then buy a plane ticket to go somewhere else. Cinderella story stuff, and he covered himself in glory, not only in the Federer game, but in losing to Djokovic as well, I thought.
Yeah, look, he picked up $660,000 in prize money, a fair way from sleeping on airport floors and eating two-minute noodles. So, you know, great story. And there's actually a football link there too. His father used to play for Brisbane Strikers back in the 1970s and 80s in the old NSL. But it was wonderful to watch. And, you know, the last time an Australian beat Roger Federer in a Grand Slam was back in 1999 when Pat Rafter got the better of him at the French Open.
Wow.
So if you put that in perspective, that's 19 years ago since we've got the better of Federer as an Australian. And that's something to hang your hat on as well. But I just love how humble the guy is, and he's obviously done it the hard way. The first thing he talked about when he got his prize money check was spending it on his family and giving them some treats. And that says a lot about the man.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. Which brings us to our talk topic for the day. Cinderella stories in sport. I'll give you a chance, Phil, to think about it during this ad break. I've got one already on top of my head, but I think John Millman just fascinated us all. It's 7:21 on your Sunday morning. This is a Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au. Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL in the run to the 2018 finals. There's latest club news, expert analysis, in-depth features and statistics, and exclusive columns from the game's biggest stars, and something for even the youngest rugby league fans. Big League is your most trusted source of rugby league information, and after 99 years, we're still the only place to find official team lists for every grade. Grab this week's copy of Big League Magazine, on sale now at news agencies, supermarkets and NRL games.
Freestanding clear at the 100. They're coming hell west and crooked, but it's freestanding for the Northern Rivers in front, and freestanding will win it.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. I'm Ray Thomas, joined this Sunday by Phil Moss, my regular co-host Jimmy Smith, as we said, upskilling, trying to improve himself. But I mentioned before the ad break that our talk topic this week is about the Cinderella stories in sport. Have you got one, Phil?
Mate, I can't go past Craig Johnson winning the 1986 FA Cup final with Liverpool and over Everton as well. And he was our you know, he really was our trailblazer, Jono. He was the first one to really make it in England, and he went through it the hard way, to the point where he was kicking a ball against a brick wall in a car park of a club that said he would never be good enough
professional. Craig Johnson as one of our legends once, and he told us, what was the first club he went to as a 15 or 16-year-old?
Nottingham Forest, I think.
And he was told he wasn't going to cut it, but he didn't tell his parents for months.
Yeah.
He somehow made ends meet and just hung around the club for months until...
And that was when he ended up in the car park, and he took his right boot off and left his left boot on so he could just work his left foot against the brick wall. Just to improve his skills. And then he went and scored on one of the biggest stages in world football.
Yeah, no, he was remarkable. Mine is Jeff Horn. The Brisbane school teacher doesn't look like a boxer, doesn't talk like a boxer, doesn't act like a boxer. Took on one of the legends of boxing in Manny Pacquiao and beat him in an absolute war, and he toughed it out and he won. And he was a guy who was bullied as a young bloke and thought, well, I don't want to do this and get bullied anymore, and he went and learned how to be a boxer, and just goes to show what the human spirit can do if it puts its mind to it.
Yeah, it was a great story, wasn't it? And the lead up to that fight was just remarkable, how it just captured the imagination of the whole country, and then how humble he was at the end of the fight, too, against someone like Pacquiao. Like, he didn't take on a mug.
No,
he took on a legend.
That's our talk topic this week. Let us know your thoughts on the Cinderella stories in sport or anything to do with sport on 1353 53. SMS us on 0419 767 272. We've got a Godolphin cap to give away to our best caller or contribution to the show this Sunday. Phil, some terrific racing yesterday. Race replay time and Rose Hill. We're right in the middle of the spring carnival now. And the first of the majors yesterday. Very impressive horse, this tough horse. His name is Tarka. He finds a way to win in the Daily Telegraph Stan Fox Stakes.
Back in the field, the Autumn Sun's off the fence looking for gaps into the straight. Mizzy spins in front by two on Denali under the pump. Dealmaker's getting up the inside. The Autumn Sun's in a traffic jam. It can't get out. Mizzy in front by a length on Denali. Dealmaker's closing in hard. Tarka moving up the outside. Mizzy in front. Dealmaker gets the split. Tarka the outside. Dealmaker and Tarka. They'll fight it out. Dealmaker the inside of Tarka. Strike for... They go to the post, and it's a photo. Nothing in this. Tarka the outside of Dealmaker. The Autumn Sun finally saw daylight.
Great call, Darren Flindell. Thrilling finish. Tarka, it's only knee high. He's only a little pit pony, but he managed to hold off Dealmaker. I think the flashing run there, though, Phil, everyone saw it, the Autumn Sun.
Yeah, what happened there, Ray? It looked like Autumn Sun got caught on the pack and just couldn't find a way through.
Got in an awkward spot early on the fence, and you can't jump over them. Kieran McElroy was trying to get out from about the 700, but other rival jockeys kept the hot favourite locked away in the pocket, and coming into the straight, it was climbing all over him, the Autumn Sun. It happens in racing. It's not a good look when you back it. But, look, he should have won. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was listening to that race in the car while I was driving, and I got caught in the inside lane myself at the time, and I was trying to get out. But, as you said, what a fantastic call by the caller as well. He really made that race come to life.
We'll talk to David Payne, the trainer of Tarka, a little later, but he's more of a staying type. Phil, he'll head down the Gloaming Stakes, Spring Champion Stakes, Victoria Derby Path, which David Payne won all three races last year with Ace High. It's remarkable how David every season finds a good horse. Dealmaker will go down the same path, and he's probably Tarka's big rival. The Autumn Sun, though, will head towards, all things being equal, the Group 1 Golden Rose in 2 weeks' time at Rose Hill. He's out to $8, but he's on the second line of favouritism with Lean Mean Machine. Graff is now the 460 favourite. The next big race I want to replay is the Theo Marks Stakes. I think Home of the Brave made a statement here. He's suddenly in the Everest mix.
Schofield really letting Home of the Brave have his head around the turn. Four lengths clear. Siege of Quebec being headed now by D'Argento the outside, then King's Garden Trapeze Artist. Home of the Brave at the 300, two clear. D'Argento in hot pursuit now. Home of the Brave a length clear from D'Argento and a length off to Trapeze Artist. He's got a kick, Home of the Brave. He's still in front by a length and a half to D'Argento and Trapeze Artist. And Home of the Brave, the UK import, wins second up. And a dominant win at that. Home of the Brave from D'Argento and Trapeze Artist third. Shaloni closed.
So the words I read after this race, Ray, were sustained speed. Got him the big win, a two-length win. Is he good enough to go to the Everest?
I think he is. Darren Biedman, I hung on his words yesterday because Everyone was wanting to know what's Godolphin going to do, because earlier in the week they ruled out Kemantari, the horse we all thought they'd aim towards the Everest. He's going towards mile races, etc. Suddenly Home of the Brave comes out, beats the early favourite for the Everest Trapeze Artist, beats D'Argento, beats two Group 1 quality horses comfortably. Darren Beedman said he's a horse who runs with purpose. He does everything at 100 miles an hour. So he's a short course horse. Is he good enough to be freshened up and come back to an Everest? I think so.
Mm.
He's very, very fast. Interesting, Phil. $51 he was before the Theo Marx. Home of the Brave is now $13. A lot of noise about Home of the Brave heading towards the Everest. I'm sure Godolphin will let us all know what their thoughts are in coming weeks. On then to the Run to the Rose, a crucial Golden Rose lead-up. Graff trying to maintain his unbeaten record. Chris Waller had three quality colts in the field. One of them is called Lean Mean Machine, a great ride, Ty England.
Jonker in front, Sandbar being felt for in second, then Pequeri from Smart Alyssa, Graff to the outside, then came Lean Mean Machine and a barging match looking to get into the clear. Jonker's got a good lead at the 250 from Sandbar, and Graff is starting to knuckle down to his work. Jonker a length and a half clear, Graff's been three wide the trip, but the colt is digging in. Jonker in front from Graff, Lean Mean Machine coming with a big run late, Lean Mean Machine bursting through the centre, big win in the Run to the Rose, Lean Mean Machine beat the favourite Graff, and Jonker in third, and Zeus.
Yeah, what a fantastic run to the line was that from Lean Mean Machine, Ray. And Ty England came off the horse at the end of the race and said he's just in love, in love with that horse. But what did you make of Graff's performance?
Outstanding, wide all the way from an awkward gate. Couldn't get onto the track. He was exposed most of the race, at least three deep. Still had the temerity to run up and win that race, and fought on really well late. Lean Machine weaved through from the back. Closer to the inside, which was still the best part of the track when that race was run. His acceleration was outstanding, but if you were on Graff, don't sack him for the Golden Rose. Like the Autumn Sun, they might have lost their unbeaten records yesterday, but I think they gained admirers from it because of their efforts. Graff is now the $4.60 outright favourite for the Golden Rose. Lean Mean Machine into $8. The Autumn Sun also $8. Brutal at $11. And Zusane's run was good in the same race too, Phil. It's out to $11, but also still on target for the Golden Rose. The other feature we'd like to look at now is the Scirocco Stakes, and it's a Chris Waller-Quinella, Invincibella and Noir.
It's Memes in front. Champagne Cuddles moved off the fence to issue a challenge. Daisy Doom third, then Magic Alibi, Perizzata pushing for an inside run, then Egyptian Symbol, Formality gives away a big start, Invincibility to the outside, favourite hits the lead, Champagne Cuddles at the 250, just in front of Memes, then Magic Alibi, Perizzata squeezing through a gap, Champagne Cuddles a length clear, who's this down the outside, Invincibility and Noir with a big run, Perizzata late, Invincibility and Noir, and Invincibility hits it with Noir, it's a photo, maybe Invincibility from Noir, but it's tight. Not sure about a third here.
And Ray, both horses owned and syndicated by Denise Martin.
Yeah, of Star Thoroughbreds. I think the last time she had a feature race Quinella Phil was about 2006, by memory. If Denise is listening, she'll probably correct me. Thezio and Bank Robber, I think it was. But look, it might have been 2008. But look, her horse is fantastic. Winning regularly. Chris Waller gets the key of Invincibility. A great ride, Hugh Bowman. Noir's effort from a wide barrier, Phil, I thought was super. So they're in for good preparations heading towards now the Golden Pendant. Two more races I'd like to replay come from Melbourne yesterday. A lot of interest in the McEwen Stakes. How good is Nature Strip? Let's listen to the call.
They approach the turn at the 400 metres. Nature Strip in front in a very good rhythm. By a length and a half to Hoots and Sunday Escape, followed by Shoals and then Viridine. But Nature Strip around the turn going well. Still about a length and a half in front of Hoots, and who comes out to have a crack at Nature Strip. But at the 100, Nature Strip leads by a length. Hootson's getting close. Nature Strip is holding on. Hootson's diving. They hit it. I think Nature Strip has just held Hootson. Oh, that was close. 3 weeks away, Shoals third, followed by Viridine. Sunday is unique, lovely.
Yes, Ray, Darren Weir, the trainer. Led start to finish, but there still seems to be major question marks over the Everest.
Yeah, there is. Look, it's funny how a horse can break a track record and you walk away thinking, well, was that a good enough performance to warrant an Everest slot? Over 1,000 metres, there's no doubt he's a dynamic sprinter. He's very fast. He's got an incredible speed, but can he sustain it at this high level at 1,200 metres? It's a huge question mark. The ATC were supposedly ready to lock in Nature Strip in their Everest slot. Even though he has won yesterday, he's just held off Hewson, so it's a question mark now, as you said, Phil, which way they go. He's still on the fourth line of favouritism, though, for the Everest at $9. Red Zill, the favourite at $5. Trapeze Arts, we didn't talk about him earlier. I thought his Theo Marks run under 61 on a heavy track was excellent. He's at $6. Vega Magic at $7. Nature Strip out to $9. And, look, I don't know, Phil, he's very, very fast, but can it, at 1,200 metres against these absolute warhorse Group 1 top-flight sprinters like the Red Zells, Trapeze Artists, etc., I think he's vulnerable. On to the Dardo 10 at Chin Nam Stakes. This is a race where the winner qualifies for an exemption. The Cox Plate is won by a 9-year-old gelding, Magic Console.
Magic Console up to third from Odeon, followed by Homespun Ambitious, Night's Watch with 6 lengths to make up. Hartnell goes for home in the Darto. At the 300 metres, Magic Console's chasing hard, followed by Spanish Reef, Homespun, Night's Watch to the outside around the turn of the 150. Magic Console takes the lead from Hartnell, Night's Watch and Homespun down the outside. Magic Console at the 100 from Night's Watch and Homespun. Magic Console holding on. Magic Console won the Darto just from Homespun, Night's Watch, Hartnell. Followed by Odeon.
Oh, what an exciting finish that was, Ray, huh? Magic Console, Cox Plate place, what are your thoughts?
He's a 9-year-old gelding, Phil. You know, his best days are behind him, and saying he's just produced a career best effort. But, look, that wasn't a legitimate weight for age field, to be fair. Hartnell was probably not quite the horse he was. He's still a competitive chance in those sort of races, but certainly not the Hartnell he was 12 months ago. Magic Console does earn an exemption to a Cox Plate, but the Cox Plate's all about the best of the best, so they're a better weight for age horses in Magic Console, not being rude. That was at 1,600 metres too. At 2,000 metres, it's a stretch for him. Look, I don't know if the owners will want to pay the $200,000 entry fee, you know, to put him in the race. I think it's a bit of a, I can't see him running. But you know what, Phil? If you own a horse good enough to get into a Cox Plate, Phil, you like to run it, wouldn't you?
Well, if you don't buy a ticket, you'll never know.
Exactly. Winksale is $1.40 favourite to win an unprecedented fourth successive Cox Plate. Gee, she's phenomenal. We'll see her next Saturday in the George Main Stakes. Then it's out to $18 to Humidor and Poet's Word. $26, Ben Battle, D'Argento, Grunt, Kementari, Kingswell Dream and Saxon Warrior. She's a phenomenon. She just dominates Australian racing, if not world racing, Winks, and we'll see her next week in the George Main Stakes. It's 7:36 on your Sunday morning. Listen to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Breeding for speed.
But all jukebox is another really impressive two-year-old winner.
Jukebox arrives at Aquas Farm, undefeated at two, bursting with early colonial speed by that speed sire schnitzel. To breed your jukebox hero, see aquasfarm.com.
It pops up for the clerk. It's been intercepted by Foley. And so the Wallabies have just got to get it into touch. And Will Benia puts it into the stands at Suncorp Stadium.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Ray and Phil. Extraordinary scenes at Flushing Meadow at the moment, Phil. Serena Williams is virtually in tears. She's had a running battle with officials here in the second set. She's down 5-4, so she's struggling to stay in the final against Naomi Osaka. But a prolonged break there while she argued with the referees there and the umpires. Extraordinary scenes, the all-time great Serena Williams.
Yeah, and you can see her just sitting in a chair at the moment, just trying to refocus. And this is the mark of champions. Can they put these setbacks behind them in the big moments and really push through that barrier? But she certainly doesn't look happy at all.
I've never seen her quite so emotional during a game, you know, like this. You see the post a game, whether she wins or loses, it's okay, she gets emotional, but she really is struggling to control her emotions here. We'll go to callers now, Phil. We've got EJ from Brisbane on the line. Good morning, EJ. Hope we had EJ there. EJ, good morning. We can't quite get him, I don't think, Phil, but Serena trying to stay in the contest, down 5-4. Osaka now serving for a breakthrough Grand Slam final. It'll be a Cinderella story in itself.
Yeah, it certainly will. And talking of Cinderella stories too, Ray, I've been corrected by a good mate of mine at Coffs Harbour, Mike Smudger-Smith.
Yeah.
Craig Johnson's first club was Middlesbrough.
There you go. Oh, yes. Of course it was. Yeah, Middlesbrough. And that's
Thank
when he couldn't,
that,
get, couldn't get the contract, and he stayed there until he eventually won him over.
Right.
Okay, we've got Patrice on the line. Patrice, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Raymond and Phil. How are you?
Terrific.
Good
Patrice.
Morning, mate.
And welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Special, Phil, as a host.
Thank you very much.
Hasn't the quality and class of the show risen exponentially, Patrice?
Yes, okay. Before I play the Cinderella story,
yeah,
Ray and Phil, I'm getting sick and tired of people asking me in the street, tell us about the husband and wife doing Christmas shopping. So I will say it after I mentioned the Cinderella story, and I'll say it for the last time.
Okay.
I hope you've got a good sense of humour, Phil, have you?
Very good, mate. Very good.
Okay, my Cinderella story, Mr. Thomas, is a jockey called Brenton of Dalla.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When he came over from Melbourne, when he came to Sydney from Melbourne, no one's heard of him, true?
That's true, yeah, and he did struggle for the first few weeks in Sydney racing, yeah.
Yeah, and this year he was champion jockey.
Mm. And you know what, Patrice, a couple of times there, he's happy to admit it. He rang up his father and says, I want to come home. I don't want to stay in Sydney. His father said, you tough it out. And Brenton will admit he never had huge ambitions as a teenager. He was a brilliant apprentice rider, but his career sort of evolved in front of him, and all of a sudden he realised, hang on, I can compete at the top level. And look at him now, Patrice, he's dedicated, he's focused, he's a world-class jockey.
All right, are you ready, Phil, for that husband and wife?
I can't wait, Patrice.
Okay, I'll say it for the last time because I'm getting sick and tired of it. Anyway, this husband and wife are doing Christmas shopping in a mall. All of a sudden, she can't find a husband, and she starts to panic. So she decides to ring him on his mobile. So he answers the phone, and he says to his wife, he says, sweetheart, do you remember the jewelry store we were in last year where I promised to buy you that expensive chain, an expensive watch? And she started getting emotional. She says, yes, my darling, I remember the jewelry store. He says, I'm in the pub next door.
Did you get that?
So all these Christmases have come
today,
at once.
Exactly, yeah. Hey, breaking news, Naomi Osaka has just won the US Women's Open final, 6-2, 6-4. She's beaten the legend Serena Williams. As we said, extraordinary scenes just prior to that where Serena's had a running battle with the officials right through this match. But I've got to say, Naomi Osaka, look, I think the realisation of what's just happened is dawning on her, Phil.
Yeah, and it's fair to say that the umpire just copped a gobful at the end of the match as well. But, great scenes in Osaka's box, and you can just see the emotions starting to descend over her now.
Yeah.
What a great moment in her career.
It certainly is. We've got EJ on the line now. EJ, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Phil. How are you, boss?
Good morning, mate.
EJ.
I'll give you a Cinderella story in a sec, but I just want to chat about Jimmy Maloney's game last night. What do you boys think? Is he the most underrated player in the league? He's taken two clubs to a premiership, one to the grand final, taken the state of origin team to a win. And he looks like he could get Penny Panthers over the line as well.
You know what, EJ? He's often maligned, James Maloney, because he's not the biggest man in the world, and opposition, particularly their forward packs, run at him. He does miss a lot of tackles, and he does give away a lot of penalties. But what he brings to a football team, and I'm sure you'd appreciate it, Phil, is a desire, a competitiveness, an ability to control a game. And what we saw last night, particularly in that second half, is why James Maloney was bought by the Panthers.
Yeah, that's right. And let's not discount either what he's done for young Nathan Cleary and how he's brought him along
this
season.
Takes the pressure off him a little bit too, doesn't it? And
yeah, that's right.
Gives Cleary a chance to express himself.
And they spend a lot of time behind the scenes together as well. But I think he's a knockabout lad who doesn't chase headlines.
Yep.
And that often means that they're underrated as well. But his performance last night was absolutely outstanding, given that he's been out with injury for a few weeks
and
as well.
And EJ and Phil, how tough is he? Because that hit by Isaac Luke, EJ, and I'm surprised he got up. I think EJ's gone now, but that hit by Isaac Luke, he timed it magnificently. And
it knocked the wind out of me watching it. I don't know how he stood up.
He's amazing. He got up. We've got Anthony on the line. Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. You must have had mixed emotions when John Millman beat the Fed through.
I didn't know who to go for, but you know what? I was sort of cheering for Millman towards the end because it was just great to watch, wasn't it?
Well, you got your voodoo doll out when you stop Nadal, get his 18th Grand Slam, get behind the Fed. Yeah. Anyway, my Cinderella story, can you go past Joe Janik from living in the caravan in Canberra to receiving a trophy from the Queen of Royal Ascot?
Gee, really good one, actually. And that's
talking cheese there.
Yeah, part-time taxi driver, part-time racehorse trainer.
That's right. You have living in the cold in Canberra to visit the Queen.
Nah, that's a good one, Anthony. They'll go down now. Our potential winners got the Godolphin cap to give away. They actually got one here, an SMS from Smack. G'day, fellas. No bigger racing Cinderella story than Takeover Target and Joe Janik. A cheap buy with suspect legs taken on by a very small part-time trainer who lived in a caravan in Queanbeyan, as Anthony said, 100%. And a Cinderella story, Phil Moss rising from second fiddle to Robbie Slater to co-host Australia's best radio sports show. But he doesn't get Jimmy's payback at those years. Glenn, the Newcastle Seagull.
Oh, what a legend, Glenn. Thanks for that, mate.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au. Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL in the run to the 2018 finals. There's latest club news, expert analysis, in-depth features and statistics, and exclusive columns from the game's biggest stars, and something for even the youngest rugby league fans. Big League is your most trusted source of rugby league information, and after 99 years, we're still the only place to find official team lists for every grade. Grab this week's copy of Big League Magazine, on sale now at news agencies, supermarkets and NRL games.
How would you like to own a share in a horse in a $1.3 million race at Royal Randwick on Everest Day?
You can in the Kosciuszko, an exciting new race for New South Wales country-trained horses in the Everest Carnival.
12 lucky winners will own a slot for the chance to share in massive prize money. Plus, another 12 winners will also be drawn to win a share in cash proceeds from the Kosciuszko Calcutta.
To enter, just head into any New South Wales tab and buy a $5 ticket via the self-service terminals or buy a ticket on the Tab app. And account holders can now buy multiple tickets via the NewSouthWalesTab.com.au website.
And here comes Satono Diamond and Cheval Grand. Kittison Black by two, starting to shorten stride. Cheval Grand, Satono Diamond. Kittison Black still leads. Satono trying to get there. Kittison Black, Satono Diamond, Cheval Grand. Kittison Black holds on and goes back to back.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show, 7:46 on your Sunday morning. And I love this one. This is from Michelle from Dubbo. How good is Darren Flindell? At the barriers yesterday, he says a few good men leading up handle the truth. that great Tom Cruise movie.
Not bad at all.
Handle the truth.
What about this one from Steve, though, Ray? This is fantastic. Sorry, guys, I don't believe the excuse of why Jimmy's not there. I think Jimmy is still out celebrating the Roosters' victory.
He probably is.
Probably sitting in the corner of a pub by himself.
Exactly. I wonder if this man is still celebrating. He has every right to. David Payne, he's produced this target to win 3 straight, including the Stan Fox Stakes yesterday, and David's been good enough to join us. Dave, good morning, and terrific win by a really promising colt.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Yeah, I know, look, he's a little chap, but he's got the will to win.
Good morning, Dave. Phil Moss here, mate. Probably a bittersweet day for you yesterday with Tarka getting up but the Springboks going down. I believe you're a mad South African rugby fan.
Well, I've been here 16 years, so I might be changing your name.
Change to
my allegiance.
Change to the Wallabies, yeah.
I'll get back to racing, though. Tarka, not the biggest three-year-old, but a big motor nonetheless.
Yeah, you know, I was lucky to get him because I don't think they could sell him being so small. Mm-hmm. He was a very tiny little bloke when he came into the yard. And, yeah, I mean, he's really puts it in, little bloke.
Has he surprised you, David, the way he sort of emerged through the ranks this winter into the spring?
Yeah, definitely. You know, well, look, his first run, he should have won. He was unlucky. Mm. James rode him, and he said to me that day, he said, this is a nice horse.
Yeah, and
he's a smart colt. And then he couldn't ride him the next time, and he ran a little bit, you know, the Canterbury wasn't a good run.
Mm.
But I think that was an experience.
Exactly. Well, he's just kept improving since yesterday. Yeah, you were mentioned.
Yeah, you know, we stepped him up quite high yesterday, and you know he delivered a little bit lucky, but that's racing.
You have to take advantage of that luck.
Yes.
The plans going forward, David, are you still sort of thinking he's a classic contender?
Yes, Gloaming definitely, and the spring champion.
Okay. And what about the Derby, David? Can he stay 2500 as well?
Well, he should. Mm. James seems to think so. He's out of a gallon out of me, so possibly. And he's a very relaxed horse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we've got to have a dip at it.
And the latest with Ace High, who, of course, won the Gloaming Stakes, the Spring Champion Stakes, and the Derby last year for you, Dave.
Yeah, he's well. He's going to be nominated for the George Main and the... the other race, the 2000 on the same day.
Okay,
I'll leave it to John to decide where he wants to go.
Of course, if you go to the George Main, you know you've got to take on the mighty wings.
I think they might be running scared today. And I said to John, I said, "What do you want to go for a second place for?"
Anyway,
I suppose it can enhance his value as a stallion to be run second in the Group One over a mile.
It's
being a high chaparral.
You know, he's run last start in the Chelmsford was fantastic. He's back on track. Just finally, David Toulouse, struggled.
Can't handle the wet. No,
fair enough.
He was sprawling, and you know he did it the other day as well. I think he'll handle the wet on a nice track,
mm-hmm.
but I think that track's a bit loose at the moment.
Yep.
And Jason said he wasn't happy. He was uncomfortable. But as soon as he came off the pit, he was floundering.
I think a few horses who failed yesterday, David, I think we've got to be prepared to forgive them next start, because that track, as you said, it broke up pretty badly later in the day, and a lot of these horses wouldn't have struck a heavy track for weeks, if not months.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it wasn't just heavy. I mean, once that's 50, I think that this is a problem. You know, they're galloping and it moves, and this is when they falter.
Mm-hmm,
so you can't blame them for not stretching.
Exactly. Look, David, thanks for joining us this morning. Terrific win by Tarki yesterday, and I think there's even better things in store for this colt.
Thanks, Ray, and thanks for Lynette. Have a good day.
Thanks,
good on you. Thanks, David.
Cheers.
He's always got a good horse, this bloke. It's remarkable how he can find one fill each and every season. David Payne hasn't got a huge stable, but he's got a Group 1 quality horse.
Yeah, and it's always interesting when there's a victory and the first quote is there's so much improvement in him. Mm. And that's that was the opinion of James McDonald after the race yesterday.
Yeah,
that's a very good sign.
Yeah, young horse, relatively lightly raced, so much in front of him. I wonder what this man thinks of the Theo Marks Stakes winner, Home of the Brave, who I thought was super impressive yesterday. His rider, Glenn Schofield, is on the line. Glenn, good morning, and... Well, it was there to be seen. He was just too good, Home of the Brave.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Morning, Phil.
Morning, Glenn.
Yeah, look, he's got a very dynamic run style. He's foot's on the till and he wants to run along. So, he was there to be run down, but it was a strong performance.
Yeah, Glenn, I was very interested in your comments after the race yesterday. A lot of spunk, wants to go, but has the ability to go with it.
Yeah, that's a hard... that's a hard combination to get. You know, sometimes horses that free roll in front, we saw it with Nature Strip yesterday, that, you know, they can run out of gas late. But my fella, he was actually pulling a margin away from those proven Group 1 horses. So there's a lot to like about his win.
Glenn, does he over-race?
He doesn't over-race. He just wants to... He's just got a very high cruising speed. He's just very free, and I think to harness that is, rather than smother it, is the way to ride him. So that's what I was trying to do yesterday.
Well, I guess the big question everyone wants to know is, if Godolphin and James Cummings do decide to look seriously at a potential start in the Everest for Home of the Brave, Can that cruising speed be sustained over a shorter trip, 1,200 metres, Glenn?
Look, I can't see why not. He ran it like it was a 1,200 yesterday. He was that quick. So he's got speed to burn. Now, of course, they've got a decision to make, the team at Godolphin. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of people interested to see what their decision is.
Yeah. These English horses, Godolphin, seem to have the knack with them. They can get the best out of these sort of fringe Group 1 horses out of Europe that might not have been quite Group 1 over there, but they come down here and they seem to go to another level. Is it because they adapt so well to the training routines, maybe out of Agnes Banks, Glenn?
Well, it could very well be the training routines that they receive here, change of environment. I can quite say a bit of sun on their back at the moment because we haven't had much of that.
Yeah.
But look, certainly, you know, sometimes the change is as good as a holiday.
Mm.
You know, don't forget that these horses, they're living, breathing animals. You know, they're not just machines that most people think that they just go around and, you know, you push a button and they go. You know, they've got emotion, they've got feelings as well. So sometimes a change of environment, you know, they might enjoy it, they might not enjoy it. You see some horses that do come out that never reach their potential.
Yeah.
So look, it's glad to see that a horse like him has, you know, come back to racing in this country and done really well.
He trialled really well prior to making his Australian debut. Did you have much to do with this horse prior to riding him in yesterday, Glenn?
No, I actually hadn't ridden him. Huey, I think, rode him in both his trials, yep. And I think Huey's comments were that he virtually had no control on him. He just basically took charge of Huey a couple of times.
Mm.
But look, his performance yesterday was out of the top draw, I must say.
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of talent, this horse, and a terrific horse. Just quickly, Glenn, a quick update on Kemantari. He was fantastic from an awkward gate last week in the Memsie, and he's right on song for the Maccabi Diva.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah, he ran really well at no luck last week. Sticky gate ended up, you know, where most maps had him, but, you know, he just didn't get the bob on the line. But nonetheless, a great performance.
And you feel he's probably better off going to a race like a 1,600 metre Maccabi Diva rather than try and harness his brilliance, come back to 1,200 metres almost as an afterthought?
Well, I'm not sure whether it was an afterthought or a plan to see how the horse had progressed through his prep, but the team have decided that's the way they want to go, and I'm sure it's the right one.
Okay. And can I hit you with it, mate? Wallabies had a win last night, Glenn. The Wallabies had a win. It's been rare. I must say, I didn't watch much of it. Did you watch much of the test match?
Yeah, I watched pretty much the whole thing. I must say, when you saw the lineup before the game, I thought, oh, here we go.
Mm.
We've got a chance, yeah. But, yeah, they missed obviously some very, very key players. But their defence, the Springboks put it to them, but their defence was solid. And, of course, the Wallabies have got their own form of Eden Park in Suncorp. You know, I think it's 10-1 in favour of the Wallabies against the Springboks there. So it's like going to the subcontinent trying to play cricket on those mud patches.
it's a brilliant tactical move from Ray this morning. Have two racing identities on the show this morning, both with South African descent.
Yeah. Phil, I'm a little bit concerned about David Payne. He buckled at the knees.
He did.
He might be going the other way.
He's switching teams, Glenn. Hey, Glenn, I'm tipping he won't be switching teams with Home of the Brave. He's an exciting horse, and whatever the Godolphin decide to do with him going forward into the spring, like Kemantari, I think they're both going to be major players. Glenn, thanks for joining us this morning, and best of luck for the rest of the spring carnival.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks, Phil.
Good on you, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Well, now that's an important time of the show, Phil, probably the most important time. I've got my pen ready. Here's Tanya with today's scratchings.
Morning, boys. Morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Muswellbrook and Gundagai. Let's start with Muswellbrook. The weather is fine. The track is soft 7. The rail is true. And there are 22 scratchings. The first race is clear. Start at race 2 and take out number 8, Dizzy Miss Lizzie. 9, Little Miss Nick. 12, Power Rush. 13, Special Surprise. 16, Slimline. 17, Kafka. And 18, Alaru. 8, 9, 12, 13, 16, 17, and 18. Race 3, take out 1, Sweetest Eyes. 3, Majestic Padrille. 10 Miss Gigi, and 11 Calamity Moe. 1, 3, 10, and 11. Out of race 4, number 7, Cricklewood, number 7. Race 5, take out 5, Waruna, number 5. Race 6, number 2, Chosen Prince, and 16, Tiger's Story, 2 and 16. And race 7, take out 2, Funky Music, 7, The Outcast, 8, Not a Sound, 10, Eyes to Heaven, 15, Iota, 16, Marhervilus, and 18, Zioptimus. Or something similar, Zioptimus. Right, take out 2, 7, 8, 10, 15, 16 and 18 from race 7 at Muswellbrook. To Gundagai, the weather is fine, the track is soft 6, the rail is true, and 21 scratchings. Race 1, take out 12, Waku, number 12. Race 2, number 9, Arithia, and 10, Who to Witness, 9 and 10. Race 3, number 8, Serious Charge, number 8. Out of race 4, number 2, Pharaoh's Rush, 9, Captain Rider, 15, Glen Appen, and 16, King Zoff, 2, 9, 15, and 16. Out of race 5, number 2, There Is No Other, 7, The Big Sheila, 15, Better Strike, and 16, Only Leone, 2, 7, 15, and 16. Race 6, take out 9, Arenic, and 14, Mr. Rossetti, 9 and 14. Race 7, number 9, Burrungong, 12, Paruli, 15, Chasing Ivy, and 16, County Limerick, 9, 12, 15, and 16 from race 7. And race 8, take out 2, Hay Sen, 9, Pindara, and 13, Destiny Road, 2, 9, and 13 from race 8 at Gundagai. Ray.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today. Phil, we've got Muswellbrook, I think, in race 4, number 1, Aberration. Very, very impressed by this horse. 2 runs back from the spell. Ready to win. Decent odds too. Good each way chance. Trained by Benjamin Smith, who's got In Her Time heading towards the Everest. Race 4, number 1, Aberration. Into race 5, number 7, Taking Liberties. Greg Ryan for Gaynor Williams. Looks hard to beat. Over to Gundagai this afternoon. I thought the last two races, we can get a couple of each way chances here. Race 7, number 1, Ribs. Fitted for 3 runs back from the spell. A horse that Emma and Lucy Longmire I know have a good opinion of. Looks hard to beat. Race 7, number 1, Ribs. Into race 8, number 4, Bid of Faith. So, look, just repeating, Naomi Osaka has upset Serena Williams in a boil over in the US Open. Emotions galore from both. We will have more about that. Plenty of rugby league coming up after break. Stay tuned. Peter Zorba Zorba is next. It's 8 o'clock on your Sunday morning Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Labor has condemned the federal government's decision to dump the National Energy Guarantee. Prime Minister Scott Morrison will propose ditching the NEG, which was designed to lower power bills, in a party room meeting when Parliament resumes this week. Labor's energy spokesman Mark Butler says the government's own modelling shows power bills will rise without the NEG.
That is the price of Scott Morrison's surrender to Tony Abbott's anti-renewables ideology. Power bills going up by $300 across the nation. So when the Australian people open their power bills and see them continuing to skyrocket, they'll know who to blame.
Two men have been killed in a collision on Queensland's Burnett Highway. The sedan the men were travelling in was involved in a crash with a four-wheel drive about 10 yesterday morning, 7 kilometres south of Gander. The men died at the scene. The male and female occupants of the four-wheel drive suffered non-life-threatening injuries. 7 men have been arrested after a large group refused police direction to disperse at Lidcombe Railway Station in Sydney's west. Police were alerted to a number of passengers causing trouble on a train travelling from Sydney Olympic Park just before 10 last night. They attempted to disperse a crowd of about 30 men who became aggressive towards the officers. Inspector Matthew Glasgow has told Macquarie reinforcements were called in and the men were dispersed before 7 of them were arrested.
When police got there, they were pretty much intoxicated and rather aggressive. So police just tried to move them on. As a result, there was a few arrested for various offences, including affray, assault police, resist arrest and disobeying directions.
A man has been charged over the alleged assault of two police officers on a Melbourne street. The 26-year-old is said to have approached two male officers who were speaking to another man on Victoria Street at Richmond about 2 yesterday afternoon. Without warning, he then allegedly started punching the officers. Capsicum spray was deployed and the policeman suffered cuts and bruises. The man was not injured and has been charged with 2 counts of assaulting an emergency worker, obstructing police and resisting arrest. He's been bailed to face Melbourne Magistrates Court on November 14. A clean-up of plastics from the oceans is underway off the coast of California. The BBC's David Chipman reports.
Until recently, the very idea of attempting to remove plastic waste from the oceans was seen as far-fetched. But a venture with the backing of the Dutch government and major investors is about to try to clean up what's called the Great Garbage Patch, a vast area of the Pacific blighted by plastic pollution. The plan relies on a floating boom, 600 metres long, that'll drift with the winds and currents, gradually forcing any plastic it meets into a small concentrated mass so that it can be collected by ship and taken away to be recycled.
Briefly, an Egyptian court has sentenced 75 people to death, including top leaders of the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood, for their involvement in a 2013 sit-in protest. And the death toll from a powerful 6.7 earthquake that rocked northern Japan 2 days ago has risen to 35 as 3 people remain missing. This is Air News. The Penrith Panthers have claimed a spot in the NRL semi-finals after beating the New Zealand Warriors at 27-12 at ANZ Stadium. Panthers prop Regan Campbell-Gillard says it was good to win and praised caretaker coach Cameron Seraldo.
Siro's been in our system for quite a while now, and we're comfortable with his guidance and how he has that interaction with the boys there, so it's good to get a win for him tonight.
GWS coach Leon Cameron has described returning forward Toby Green as phenomenal and worth his weight in gold after the Talisman's triumph return to the big stage. Back after missing the Giants' last 3 home and away games with a hamstring injury, Green was a major factor in their stunning 49-point elimination final win over Sydney at the SCG yesterday. The Giants haven't lost with Green in their side this season, winning 7 and drawing 1. The Magpies will host GWS in a knockout semi-final next Saturday, a day after Hawthorn meet Melbourne in the other semi-final. And West Coast and Richmond will host preliminary finals in a fortnight. And riding for Australian pro cycling team Mitchelton Scott, Simon Yates snatched back the leader's red jersey at Spain's La Vuelta after a stunning late attack propelled him to victory in stage 14, giving him a 20-second advantage at the top of the general classification. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Remember, if you're going out drinking tonight, plan ahead to get home safely. Make sure you leave the car at home and get a lift. RBT means you need a plan B. If you're drinking, don't drive. In Roseville, we've got emergency roadworks on the Pacific Highway at William Street, one southbound lane closed. In Maroubra, look out for lights flashing on Maroubra Road at Garden Street. And in Bondi, we've got special event clearways and lane closures on Bondi Road between Old Southhead Road and Sandridge Street for the Kite Festival today. Dress up dinner tonight by grabbing a pack of Bird's Eye Deli Chips from the supermarket freezer. Crafted to perfection using only the finest ingredients. Bird's Eye Deli Chips. We prep, you cook. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual, now $39,990, drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MT18808. Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL in the run to the the 2018 finals. There's latest club news, expert analysis, in-depth features and statistics, and exclusive columns from the game's biggest stars, and something for even the youngest rugby league fans. Big League is your most trusted source of rugby league information, and after 99 years, we're still the only place to find official team lists for every grade. Grab this week's copy of Big League Magazine, on sale now at news agencies, supermarkets and NRL games. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Right, Ray, let's have a look at the weather for today in Sydney. Sunny, winds west to northwesterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, turning southwesterly, 20 to 30 kilometres an hour in the morning, through the morning. Chance of rain is 0%, we're happy to hear that, and a max temperature of 21, and as I said, sunny. What's the current temp in Milperra and the forecast for Muswellbrook, right?
Yeah, Phil, Milperra currently 12 degrees. Coolish start to the day, but a sunny day coming up. Top of 23 at Milperra. Muswellbrook, lovely part of the world. I hope they're getting some rain up there, Phil. It's been so dry in the Hunter. Currently 10 degrees, heading for a top temperature on a sunny Sunday, Muswellbrook, of 22 degrees.
See the excitement and think what is very much a star-studded Redfield Roosters outfit. Very tough over football. 10 points to four.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show on your Sunday morning. I'm with Phil Moss, and a big second hour coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We've got Zorba coming up shortly to talk all things NRL Finals football. Ty England, he'll join us shortly. Had a big day at Rose Hill yesterday. The event cinema quiz also this hour. I think Jimmy Smith's leading 2015. Phil, you're in the chair for Jim.
Oh, that'll be
pressure's
amazing.
On.
That's an easy win.
And we've got Dean Ritchie also towards the 9 o'clock news, talking all things rugby league. But for Panthers, a quick score update for the NRL Finals. Week 1, the Storm 29-28 over South Sydney on Friday night. Extraordinary game. And then yesterday, two cracking finals. Penrith Panthers 27, the Warriors 12. The Warriors are now out of the competition. The Roosters 21 over the Sharks 12. The Sharks do live to fight another day, as do the Rabbitohs. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, a big game up in Brisbane, Broncos versus the Dragons. It is sudden death up there. And, well, it's been a fantastic first three games of the final series. And we've got Peter Peters on the line this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Zorban. Well, if you watched Friday night's game and you didn't like what you saw, don't watch another game of rugby league, because that was special.
Yeah, it certainly was. G'day, Ray. Morning, Mossy.
Morning, Zorba. Good to speak, mate.
Yeah, good to speak. Look, I'm still getting over Friday night. Storm 29 and South 28, but it was a match of the year. One of the best final games, I think, since the 1989 classic grand final between Canberra and Balmain Tigers. And it's no coincidence that referee Ashley Klein put his whistle away. You didn't even see the pocket referee in the game. I know there were two controversial decisions in the game, but they were both the result of tough judge errors, not the referee. Mm. And the first one was when Cody Walker appeared to go over the sideline. They ruled penalty to South. I didn't think that the tackle was completed there. And then there was a forward pass rule from Slater to Addo Carr, and Addo Carr was on the fly, haul back, and that was on a tough judge too. But for mine, Ashley Klein's gone to the top of the referee ratings. But back to the game, I mean, the lead changed five tries each in the game, and it was tries just before half time and just before full time, vital times for the Storm to beat a gallant South Sydney side. I thought the defence in the game was just rattling, and it was powerhouse defence from the start of the game, and everything about the game was just special. It flowed. Interesting, in the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, there were very few Camerons in rugby league. The Storm had two. And how good are they? I mean, a Cameron in those years was really the school nerd. But Cameron Smith, another typical big game for him. But what about Cameron Munster? Mm. He kicked a clutch field goal to win the game, but his display throughout was just sensational. Super stuff. Souths were awesome in defeat. I thought Greg Inglis was just a colossus. Two fantastic tries, back to his best, inspirational leader. I wouldn't be surprised if these two teams maybe meet again. Felice Kaufusi, best on the field.
He's
and
yeah.
To say that in a, in an opposition where the Burgess boys are operating in a big game like that is saying something.
Yeah, interesting, Zorb. You've just mentioned some big names there across all the games, and that was the theme of the weekend for me. The likes of James Maloney, Smith, Slater, Munster, Cooper Cronk all stood up at the big moments, and that really is the difference in these big games.
No, it's a new competition, and the players that have been there and done it really stand up. And you mentioned James Maloney. In 2011, a long time ago, he was part of the grand final charge of the New Zealand Warriors. Last time that they made the grand final, the only time. And last night, the veteran number six ended the 2018 season for his old club by leading Penrith to that win. They were down 12-2 after 14 minutes. The Panthers then scored 25 unanswered points to win 27-12. And the Warriors, again, first side out of the finals. They always promise so much but never deliver. Mm. Good effort by the young caretaker coach. Another Cameron, by the way, Cameron Seraldo. For a couple of years now, he's been touted as a future superstar coach. He's a terrific young fellow. He's got a lovely family. He was a better-than-average player, but he's one of those players that was born to coach. And he's had great success in the 20s at Penrith. He's come through their ranks and... I think he's going to be a special coach for a long time, but he's one game away from a grand final after a five-game NRL coaching career.
Yeah, it's interesting, Zorb, isn't it? I know in my code, you while we're talking about James Maloney, you look for young players coming through and what's next to them and how quickly they can accelerate their development. I spoke earlier about James Maloney and the effect he's had on young Nathan Cleary, and I think it's been immense this season. Your views?
Yeah, definitely. And I thought Cleary has been flat since Origin, and that's a tough thing for a kid his age to continue in the NRL competition because there's no respite. As a matter of fact, it picks up. And, you know, he's in a vital position there, but he's lucky he's got Maloney alongside him to guide him through. And it's no coincidence that Maloney is leading the side around the park and Cleary's learning off him and getting better with every game. His goal-kicking improved under pressure, and it was a great win. And when you talk about those sort of players, you look at the Roosters, and they brought Cooper Cronk to the club to get them to where they've got, and that's one game away from a grand final now. I thought he was instrumental in a big way last night. His kicking game was vital to his team. He scored a try off one of his kicks, and then we saw Tupu score one as well. So they're looking pretty good, but I thought they were pretty lucky last night. The Sharks bombed three tries, and they actually sat up and just were in the way of completing and didn't complete. That really cost them last night. I thought that they were perhaps a bit unlucky, but the Roosters did everything they needed to do to end up winning the game and go through and have a week off, which is going to be vital for them. I think they've got a big problem, though. I think Latrell Mitchell
is
in real trouble.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Zorb, what's your take on that Latrell Mitchell incident?
Well, there's been players suspended for similar tackles, and they didn't look as bad as that one. One on Josh Dugan last night. It didn't look good. He's got carryover points from his last game, 70 carryover points. And I, even though that incident's not on report, I think it will be come today. And there's going to be a lot of people at the Roosters looking at what happens, if anything, to Latrell Mitchell. He was great again last night. Every now and then in his game, he has a little brainstorm. Now, that can happen to a young player, but he's just got to watch it. He's so vital. He's the goal kicker. He's their star try scorer. He does so much for that side. I wish him well, but I fear for the worst for him. Just on that game, I thought there was a vital incident, and while I'm wrapping most of the referees, I can't wrap the supposed number one, Gerard Sutton. He overruled Ben Cummings on an incident, or so they said in the commentary, and I'm pretty sure they got it right. But there was a dispute over a wasp ball and a tackle in the 55th minute when the Roosters led 14-12. Now, Townsend was tackling Jake Friend. Friend appeared to lose it. It didn't appear on the replay that Townsend touched the ball. Yeah. It was just a lost ball. The referees had a discussion, and it went the scrum feed to the Roosters. They subsequently scored a try and kicked away, won the game. Mm. Sutton's games don't flow. There's always stop-start. There's a lot more penalties when he's got the whistle than any other referee that we've seen in the last few weeks. Mm. And I just think that they need to look at it. Klein did a wonderful job on Friday night, and he's got to go to the number one position if they're judging them on performance.
Mm. It's refreshing, though, isn't it, Saul, that we can talk primarily about the football, not about the referees for once, which was great. Hey, Saul, before we get to the women's game, I know Phil wants to ask you about the Warriors versus Roosters women's game, but can I ask you about Mad Monday? What was your take on what happened last Monday? And what about the calls? I don't know how you can enforce it, but to ban Mad Monday celebrations.
Well, the clubs pay the players. They're their employers. If they don't want them to go and they just say you can't go, well, there's not much choice. Oh, look, I think it's got to the ridiculous stage of seeing grown men dress up as cartoon characters, as superheroes. And, I mean, boys, you're getting paid a lot to play the game you love. It's the best life that a young footballer can have. And if you want to get blind drunk, go in the middle of a property somewhere and have some fun together. But when it's out in front of the public, it's a problem. And the biggest problem I've got with the Bulldogs issue is that they've now lost a great sponsor in Jayco. Evidently, according to the boss of Jayco, no one from the club contacted him about what went on. Now, we're led to believe that officials were present, and indeed some reports that some officials were cheering players on, egging them on. It's not a good look. And a couple of those officials really should be before the board of the Bulldogs. I mean, Jayco have kicked in $500,000 a year for a long time. And that's a lot of money to make up. And whilst they've got a successful league club that can chip in and pay, I think their officials, particularly their CEO, their coach, their footy manager, really should be up before the board and they've got some explaining to do. And not calling the sponsor, and that's he's been quoted as saying that. That worries me greatly. The game can't afford that. It's not professional. It's a bad look.
Yeah, I've heard lots of commentary on it this week, Zorb. And at the end of the day, what's at the very heart of it is what makes someone take their clothes off in public and when they're high profile and got contracts to do what they're so passionate about doing and earn good money doing it. That's just the bottom line. Behavior. But anyway,
it's
mate,
a great life, Mossy. I mean, we'd have all wanted to be greater players than we were. I'm sure you're in the same boat as me, but, you know, we experienced what was a fabulous experience and a great way, if you're passionate about your sport, to earn somewhat of a living. And I just can't understand players that want to throw that away.
Yeah, that's right. Wind the clock back, actually. Zorba gave me some great advice. I don't know if you remember, Zorba. We had a beer just before I left the Manly Daily way back in the 90s. I was going to sign my first professional football contract, and he said, enjoy the highs because they're very, very high. And the lows are very, very low.
I understand that. Yeah.
There's no flat roads in professional sport.
Exactly, yeah.
No, there's not. And I remember it, Mossy, and you know what? It's something you cherished, and that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah, that's right. So, Zorb, moving on to the women's game now, we've got, obviously, in the round ball code, we've got the W League, we've got the women's AFL. The Matildas have made some real strides forward. And now there's the women's rugby league competition. Of course, the sevens women's sevens in rugby union put them on the map with the Olympic gold. This is a great move forward for rugby league.
Oh, it certainly is. And it's good to see rugby league moving along with the sevens. I watched the women's team train pre-Olympics at Narrabeen, and they're a wonderful group of girls, and they train hard. As a matter of fact, they train a lot harder than the men's sevens, and watching them train, I reckon they'd nearly beat the men's sevens. They're so good. But rugby league, I thought yesterday's game was a great spectacle. The defence was bone-shattering. Some of the girls from the Warriors really ripped in, and then the Sydney Roosters, who are a lot smaller, brought on some big players from the bench, namely Chloe Caldwell and Victoria Latu, and they really matched. It was only 2-1, and it could have easily been a drawn game, but terrific game of football. I think a great start to the women's game. I think it's the first step in a fantastic journey ahead for them, and I just think the game will grow with more women playing the game. It's fantastic across all sports, in Australian rules, in soccer. You mentioned the rugby sevens, and now in league, it's just fantastic. And full marks to Fox Sports, who are really showcasing women's sport, and I think it's going to grow. Empty stands when they kicked off at 3:05 yesterday, but it'll get bigger.
Yeah, that's right. And Fox Sports, you mentioned, Zorb, they're showing every W League game live this season as well, which is a huge step forward for women's sport as well. But Hilda Mariu will go down in the history books as the first ever try scorer in the NRL Women's Premiership. And that's just an example of being able to put their name up in lights and, as you said, history made yesterday. Now, I know with the rugby women's sevens, they went scouring the country for athletes who they thought they could turn into rugby players, and they did a pretty good job. Same with the AFL. Is that the route that rugby league has taken as well?
Well, it is in a smaller way, but there's been a core group of women playing the game now for some time, and there's a lot more that can come through, and I think we'll see it now. But you know, a lot of them play touch. They head up to Port Macquarie each year for the Touch Championships, and it's one step up from touch, and I think that they're already primed and ready to go, and they'll look at what's going on. I mean, I already like watching some of the female rugby league players. Isabel Kelly is just a superstar. Her dad played lower grades, Kev Kelly, for Manly as a hooker, and I think we're going to see a lot of the daughters of players coming through, like we're seeing now. I understand Craig Coleman's daughter is a terrific touch player as well. So we're going to see them come through, and pretty quickly, I think.
Hey, so on to today's game, and Broncos versus the Dragons. The winner gets the opportunity to play South Sydney next week. The loser, it's all over for the season. Such a fascinating elimination final. Ben Hunt returning to take on his old teammates. Wayne Bennett trying to, again, make a statement with the Broncos. How do you see it, Zorb?
Well, I see the Broncos, you know, really winning this one and winning it quite clearly. The Dragons have got the shakes. They haven't been informed for the last 2 months. They've fallen over the line a couple of times in games. They should have won easily. I think their forward pack is nothing like what it was earlier in the season when they were dominating. They're missing Paul Vaughan. DeBellin's carrying injuries. Frizzell is probably the only forward that is maintaining his early season form, and a lot's going to bank on him today. They've got Gareth Widdop back, and he's a superb player. I'm just not certain whether Hunt has got the confidence to go back. He will be under pressure from the Brisbane Broncos. You can bet your bottom dollar that Wayne Bennett's going to target him. He's had problems with his handling in big end-of-season games in recent years. I don't think his confidence can get him through what's coming his way today. Mm. I'm tipping a very clear Broncos win.
Have you got a Zappers or the Lions 10.5? The Broncos are $1.28 head to head. The Dragons 3.75.
Yeah, I think I'll take the Broncos. Yep. 13+.
Fair enough. Hey, Zorb, terrific as always, very comprehensive, and the footy's been fantastic the first three finals so far. Looking forward to the Broncos and the Dragons this afternoon, and we'll talk next week. Phil has...
I have to say something before we depart, Zorba. I had a Zorba pizza last night from Alimento at Collaroy.
A Zorba pizza?
It's actually called the Zorba pizza in the menu.
Have you heard of that, Pete?
There's a couple of people... That throw it out there. I fancy a pizza, and I have had a couple from there, and I have had the Zorba pizza.
Is it any good? Is it any
outstanding? Outstanding. I can still taste it this morning.
Hey, good on you, Pete. Look forward to this afternoon's game, and we'll chat next week.
Okay, stop eating me, boss.
Good on you, Zorb.
8:28 on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
For more grunt talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual now $39,990 drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD 18808. Big League Magazine is your must-have guide for every weekend of NRL in the run to the 2018 finals. There's latest club news, expert analysis, in-depth features and statistics, and exclusive columns from the game's biggest stars, and something for even the youngest rugby league fans. Big League is your most trusted source of rugby league information, and after 99 years, we're still the only place to find official team lists for every grade. Grab this week's copy of Big League Magazine, on sale now at news agencies, supermarkets and NRL games.
Looking at Lee, wanders off the rail, now with three lengths to make up and a 16th to go. But Always Dreaming is digging down, and Always Dreaming is holding on. Looking at Lee, can't catch Always Dreaming, who's the 143rd winner of the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Phil and Ray. Well, there's some quality three-year-olds about this season, Phil. We saw one yesterday in the run to the Rose, a brilliant ride by Ty England, weaving through on lean, mean machine late. And Ty's on the line this morning. Ty, good morning. And I guess you had no other option but to try and weave through close to the rail, but the horse's acceleration was super impressive. Good morning, Ty.
Yeah, morning, guys. Exactly. He jumped from a midfield gate. I think Barry Fitz was, and I ended up getting back on the back of Performer.
Hmm.
And just coming in the corner, I was held up quite badly, and the horse was dropping back in my face quite quickly, and I just had to pop off his heels, which sort of created a little bit of interference, and it actually turned him sideways and stopped all his momentum. And at that stage, I thought, oh, done. And then next minute, he just attacked the line. I didn't have to use the whip on him at all. I just hands and heels kept him balanced. And a long way out, I knew I was the winner because just the ground that I was making up, and my only concern was those two leaders came together and closed that gap. But, they stayed in their straight lines, and he went super.
Yeah, good morning, Ty. I think you saved the day for Chris Waller yesterday. Two losses before you got the money. I noticed some comments after the race. You were in love. You're in love with Lean Mean Machine. I love that name, by the way. But can you elaborate?
Yeah, I've only had the one trial on it at Chautauqua trial there a few weeks ago, and I still remember the first day I saw Hugh Bowman trialed him. He's just got this sort of aura about him. Beautiful looking colt, and obviously he had a great prep last prep, but he looks like he's just come back a little bit bigger and better. And in the trial he just did everything right, and he felt like he's got this big motor there. So I had to sort of grab hold of him and not let him do too much in that trial. And my comments to Chris were pretty much leave me on him. I'll do whatever I can to keep it alive. It was good that
he listened.
He came out and performed the way he did, because sort of it actually surprised Chris a little bit. He thought he'd be more of a miler, but yeah, the turn of foot that he showed yesterday was incredible.
I was going to ask you, Ty, because he's by Zoo Star. His racing pattern suggests he's looking for further, but he has this sprint acceleration. So are you any closer to sort of identifying what his best trip might be?
Not really. Yeah. I think he, like good horses, he can perform very well fresh over, you know, a shorter trip like he did there yesterday. And I'm sure Chris will get him right out to the mile and he'll still be effective exactly the same. So good horses are able to do that, and yeah, I believe he's definitely one of them.
Off the back of yesterday, Ty, there was some question marks as to whether Lean Mean Machine will be a Group 1 contender. Your thoughts?
No. He'll be one for sure. That's something I can guarantee.
Yeah. Well, and what about the depth of this season's three-year-old crop? I know it's very early days, but we saw the Stan Fox yesterday, the run to the Rose. All the three-year-old races so far this season, have been top quality.
They are, yeah. I think even just coming into the season, Ray, everyone was talking about how exciting it is with the three-year-olds coming through. So I think we had a really good two-year-old season last year with a lot of... I wouldn't say there was one dominant sort of horse. It was widely spread, and I think it's going to come into the three-year-old season as well, which is very exciting. And hopefully we can sort of jump back on a couple nicer tracks, and you know, some other horses could step it up even more. So good time of year for racing, and I'm glad I found this fella.
And I reckon you're still glad you're on Trapeze Artis back. I know he was beaten yesterday, but he lost no admirers, 61 heavy track. And for a few strides there in the straight, Ty, I thought he was going to run right into the race.
Yeah, so did I, Ray. I thought he's run super. You probably don't want him to do too much more first up with that sort of weight on a heavy track. So I felt him on a number of occasions, probably especially 100 out. He just felt like he was about to really let go, and feet spun a little bit in that heavy track, and he just couldn't pick it up and get it going. So to me, he tried. I think just the weight and the heavy track definitely got the better of him. But yeah, I like the way he relaxed in his run. To me, that felt like, you know, the Trapeze Artis in the All Age in the TJ, just those wheels spun a little bit.
Yeah, it was good to see, wasn't it, Ty? Because obviously the owners of Trapeze Artis, Bert Vieira, had an awful week with his wife, Gay, being involved in that horrific car accident at Cronulla. So, look, our thoughts are with Gay. We wish her recovery, a speedy recovery. And at least that was some good news for them at last yesterday, Ty.
Yeah, you know, it's been a very, very long week for them. I'm sure it's been very stressful, and probably they haven't. It's the last thing they've sort of been thinking about. But the whole family loves Trapeze, and they would have been there at the hospital watching yesterday, and hopefully trying to pick Gay spirits up as well. So yeah, everyone's thinking about them, and yeah, hopefully she can be back on the road to recovery very soon.
You know, well said, Ty. Hey, look, Ty, I appreciate you coming on this morning. You've got some exciting rides coming forward in the spring, including Ace High next week, and great to see that Lean Mean Machine got the job done for you yesterday. Thanks for your time, Ty.
Yeah, thank you.
Good on you, Ty.
He's got some good rides this spring, Phil. We've got Ace High next week, as I said, in the George Maynell, the Kingston Town. David Payne wasn't quite sure, but Lean Mean Machine, you could tell by his voice, he's really excited by it. And I thought Trapeze Artis went super yesterday.
Yeah, I have to say, just changing tack slightly, but not totally. I just love listening to these racing identities, like the trainers and the jockeys. They're just real. They just say it how it is, and it's fantastic. There's not a lot of cliches in there. It's just what they see is what you get.
Well, being fortunate to cover other sports, we're very lucky in racing in that, one, the access we have to the stars, which is unlimited, and probably drive these poor people mad at times, but also their ability to present the sport in a positive way and to be truthful and honest. As we just heard from Ty England with Trapeze Artis, he thought 100 metres out, he just hit the wall a little bit. And that's understandable given he was first up after a long spell. It's 8:36 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. You're with Phil and Ray.
Hey, Mum, do you love great coffee?
Yes.
Here, I'll make you one on this new Nespresso coffee maker. We've got so many beautiful coffee makers at Bingley. Mum, check out the styling, check out the craftsmanship, check out the coffee.
Lionel, slow down.
We've got everything you need to know about coffee, Mum. What would you like? Espresso, cappuccino, macchiato, ristretto, piccolo, latte, flat white, long black, short black, or mocha?
How many have you had today?
All of them.
Oh, I thought so.
If you love coffee, you'll love Bingley. I'm Lionel Lee.
I'm Yandere.
I'm Lionel Lee.
At Bingley, we recommend drink coffee responsibly.
Breeding for speed.
But all jukebox is another really impressive two-year-old winner.
Jukebox arrives at Aquas Farm, undefeated at two, bursting with early colonial speed by that speed sire schnitzel. To breed your jukebox hero, see aquasfarm.com.
How would you like to own a share in a horse in a $1.3 million race at Royal Randwick on Everest Day?
You can in the Kosciuszko, an exciting new race for New South Wales country-trained horses in the Everest Carnival.
12 lucky winners will own a slot for the chance to share in massive prize money. Plus another 12 winners will also be drawn to win a share in cash proceeds from the Kosciuszko Calcutta.
To enter, just head into any New South Wales tab and buy a $5 ticket via the self-service terminals or buy a ticket on the tab app. And account holders can now buy multiple tickets via the NewSouthWalesTab.com.au website.
Pitch. Swinging a long drive to left. Way back. Can you believe this? Brandon Phillips has homered. The Red Sox lead it 9-8. Can you believe it?
Zero, you're my hero. Number zero.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Phil and Ray, 8:39 on a Sunday morning. Our theme for this morning's show is the Cinderella stories in sport. And this one comes from Scooter. Cinderella story, Ray marrying Tanya. I think he's right about that. And his miraculous comebacks in the quiz. The rorting will be rife today with Jimmy away. That's from Scooter. I think he's nailed that one, I think, Phil.
Scooter should have just stopped at Ray marrying Tanya.
That's true, yeah. No, that is one of the all-time great Cinderella stories. Did it come to a horrible end one day? I hope not. Tanya comes to her senses.
Well, they're nicknaming me the Wolf now that I'm working for NAB. And Robbie Slater on air one day said, "We remember what happens at the end."
Oh,
the Wolf of Wall Street. But there's
Tan,
one
only happy endings, Tan, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, Tan's nodding her head, hopefully.
I'm not going there, mate. Okay. Talking about happy endings. Morning team, doing great, Phil. Everyone sounds relaxed without Jimmy. You're great, Ray. And that's from Judy. A big fan of Jimmy's, apparently, Judy.
Oh, she loves her and Jimmy. He gets so upset by it. Well, tell us all your thoughts on all the sport, the NRL finals on 1353 53, SMS on 0419 767 272. We've got Ron on the line. Ron, good morning.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Ron from Moree. How's things up? Any rain up your way, Ron?
Yeah, we had 30 mils about a fortnight ago, but we had our cup meeting last Sunday,
yep.
Which was a great success. So we've had the odd 2 and 3 mils on and off. So
not enough, though, is it? No.
No, but it's a start, you know?
Yeah, it's a start, exactly. We just need some more. What's your thoughts today, Ron, on all things sport?
Well, it's been a big week, but the Cinderella story, having Stirling Moss in there this morning, I thought he'd gone, but anyway, a bit of a shock. He was a bit of a fan of mine.
Well, he's doing a good job, Phil. He's got a very relaxed demeanour.
Oh, sorry.
I don't drive anything like Stirling. I'm called Mr. Magoo when I'm behind the wheel by my partner Penny and my kids.
Yeah, I heard you couldn't get out this morning and when you got boxed in on the fence anyway. My Cinderella story is about a little kid called Zach Purton who left school and, well, not only school but home at the age of 14. And he dared a dream.
Mm.
He went overseas and he took on the world.
Mm.
Walked into Hong Kong, didn't know anyone, didn't even know how to get to the racetrack. And in that time, you know, he's ridden in nine different countries. He's won in 7 different countries and he's ridden Group 1s in 6 of them.
Yeah, no, he's an absolute star, Ron, and I tell you what, he's a world-class jockey now. I don't know why he doesn't get more opportunities during the carnivals in Sydney and Melbourne each and every year. But
I think the reason, Ray, is that the Hong Kong Jockey Club are pretty severe on them leaving, and because they race on Sunday there, and their carnival's on Saturday, well, you know, the Saturdays.
It is tough for them,
Now it's got to be a Group 1 win, Group 1 ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the reality of it.
Exactly.
But just finally on Zach, the Magic Man was unbeatable. Not the Magic Man, Douglas White.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 13 straight premierships. Beavement. They all went over to try and knock him off. They couldn't.
Zach Purton did, Zach Purton. He's been a world-class jockey now, and wherever he comes back, he's just... he always wins majors when he comes back, Phil. He's a terrific jockey. We've got Doug on the line. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Good day, Phil.
Morning, Doug.
I just want to talk about two things. First, James Mullaney, didn't he play good football?
He was terrific last night, wasn't he, Doug? We were talking about earlier, Phil and I, and I know he misses some tackles and he gives away penalties, as we mentioned earlier, but what he brings to a football team, particularly in the big moments, Phil, as we saw last night when the team looked for direction, it was James Mullaney, Doug.
That's right. And another thing I've got to talk about, Forbes played Dubbo today in the grand final.
Forbes versus Dubbo, is it?
Yeah, Dubbo team, of course. Yeah.
Okay, who's your team, Doug, out there?
Oh, I come from Forbes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Miracle Mal Country.
Yes, that's good, champion.
That's the way. Well, ring us back next Sunday, Doug, and tell us who wins the big one, Forbes v. Dubbo.
Okay, right.
Good on you, Doug. Thanks for your time. And Doug's a massive Penrith supporter. He loves the Panthers
brilliant.
Rings every Sunday, as does this man, Adrian. Good morning.
Hey, g'day, Ray. G'day, Phil.
G'day,
how are you?
Terrific, mate. And you want to talk about the Dragons Broncos this afternoon?
Well, I do. I mean, I don't know if you caught James Graham's press conference, whatever, before the media.
I did.
I mean, Paul Kent called him almost insolent. I thought he was surly, really petulant. Mm. What James Graham needs to do is concentrate on his own game and try and get it above the level he's had this year, which has been mediocre. He's had a mediocre season, in my opinion, far from a successful signature for them. So, but he's got the ability. They're just
going to
lift the Dragons.
And one thing about James Graham, as you would know, Adrian, being a Bulldogs supporter and watching him for many years, one thing about him, Phil, is in the big games and the big moments is when he steps up.
Yeah, he has got that leadership quality about him, hasn't he? But, I did see some of those comments during the week, and, it was interesting. I mean, you know, once you talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk, and you've got to make sure that those around you can walk the walk as well.
Exactly. I reckon he had his game mode on, Adrian.
Well, you need to pull one out of the fire because, to be honest, I haven't seen him play a top game for 2 or 3 years. He's got to pull something out of the fire and lead it against. But just on the Broncos, guys, that David Fifita.
He's a superstar.
Bronson said he's the best kid you've seen out of school since a schoolboy since Sonny Bill Williams. He doesn't turn 19. He's the only player playing who's born in the year 2000. He turns 19 next February. He looks something unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he's a player and a half. And so many interesting subplots, isn't there, in this afternoon's game, Adrian, particularly Ben Hunt returning to...
To beat a Penguin, is he better off to sign somewhere else for $900,000 or stay for $700,000 Bronco dollars? Because Bronco dollars are worth more than the Australian dollar.
Well, I think they're worth about I know what you mean,
They're worth about $3 US, the Bronco.
Does it all hinge on Wayne Bennett, though? Is he still there?
Apparently it's got a lot to do with it as well. But, you know, that's the thing with the salary cap. I mean, Phil, you understand this. And, Ray, you know, if you're in the marketing arm of the Broncos, you got people falling all over you. It'd be so easy to just get all the sponsors. Imagine going as the marketing arm for the Canberra Raiders trying to get down to West Wylong to sign up to the RSL club. It's just... They've got to do something about the salary cap and give Canberra $11 million and the Broncos $8 or $9 million of them.
Bring him back to the field. I like it, Adrian. I don't know if that'll work in a free market. Hey, look, hot seat next for you, Phil. Event Cinema quiz time.
Oh,
call
wait.
In now on 13 53 53 for the Event Cinema's quiz. The score update, I think, was 2015. As Scooter said, there could be some rorting going on here, Phil.
Dynamics indications Gay and Adrian have a super colt to be owned and raced with Jerry Harvey. By Piero, the champion first and second season sire in Australia, our colts from Confer, a Group 1 placed mare.
I've been dealing with Dynamics indications now for many, many years. They're good people who had a very good relationship over a very long time.
Join Jerry Harvey and Gay Waterhouse in our Piero cult. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Be rewarded at Panthers with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all outstanding restaurants. I go work with my son. Phil, they're absolutely brilliant. Restaurants and bars, I say to me Sunday to Jimmy, hasn't come out yet. Osso's, the filet mignon, had it last Thursday night. Best there is. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you're a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
Is over for Canadian fans, and the dream is now a reality for Brooke Henderson. A Canadian wins the CP Women's Open.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, Ray, it's been dubbed the biggest fight in UFC history, and Event Cinemas George Street are screening it live. Sunday, October the 7th, see the fight on the biggest screen in the Sydney CBD, VMAX. Don't miss a second of the action as the notorious Conor McGregor returns to the octagon after a 2-year hiatus. That's quite remarkable. Mm. Can Conor retake the UFC lightweight title from unbeaten reigning champ Khabib? Cinebuzz members experience the action for just $20. Get your tickets now at eventscinemas.com.au.
Well done, Phil. Event Cinemas quiz time. And now this works, Phil. Do you want me to open the batting for you?
You go for it, right?
Okay. Look, I think we've got Adam on the line. Adam, good morning.
Hey, how you going?
Hey, Adam, you're the man today. I'm 5 behind Jimmy, so you've got to help me get back in the contest here. But here we go, Adam. Question number one. Which professional sport will start paying women the same prize money as men from 2019?
Tennis?
I was surfing, Adam. Yeah, it was just announced last couple of days. But okay, Adam, we'll get it back on track here. Question number two. Former Socceroo Harry Kewell has just been given the coaching job at which professional football club? A, Nottingham Forest. B, Notts County. C, Norwich City.
Notts County.
Oh, solid, Adam. Solid. Well done.
They went down overnight too,
did they?
Right?
Well, yeah. Scored, you know.
5-1, I think, to Exeter City. And Harry got sent off from the sideline.
Really?
What did they do?
Auspicious start. All right, Adam, here we go. Question number three. This is an interesting one. It's caused some controversy. Which band will headline the entertainment at this year's NRL Grand Final? A, is it the Foo Fighters? B, Hilltop Hoods? C, Gang of Youths.
Gang of Youth.
Outstanding. Well done, Adam. 2 out of 3. Stay on the line there, Adam. Phil, it's over to you. I think you've got Bunny Boy on the line.
We've got Bunny Boy. Bunny Boy, how are you?
Oh, good, mate. How's you?
Ah, fantastic, mate. About to be better because you're about to get 3 out of 3, aren't you?
Okay.
Okay, question number one. Why has the Harbour View Hotel been in the news this week?
Oh, the Bulldogs, mate.
Ah, love it.
That'll
one from
solid
one.
Start. Yeah.
Absolutely outstanding. Giant killer John Millman was the only Aussie to make the quarterfinals at this year's US Open. What age is Millman? A, 25, B, 27, or C, 29?
29.
Ah, Bunny Boy, on fire.
Bunny Boy, here we go.
I bet you Jimmy's listening too.
Yeah, he will be, don't worry.
He'll be on fire.
He's sweating on this.
Question number three. David Beckham is involved with a new US Major League Football club. What is the new team's name? A, Inter Miami. B, Florida Football. Or C, Atletico Orlando.
Oh, When in doubt, go B.
Oh, it's a tiebreaker.
A, it was, into Miami.
We're locked at 2-2. So do you want to go first for the tiebreaker with Bunny Boy Phil?
Yes, why not? Here we go. The tiebreaker is, what is tennis player Andy Murray's current ATP world ranking? I'll give you a tip. It's between 100 and 500.
129.
Okay, stay on the line, Bunny Boy. We'll go back to Adam. Adam, you there?
Yeah, mate.
Okay, we're locked in a tiebreaker, Adam. Here we go. This is the tiebreaker question. What is tennis player Andy Murray's current ATP world ranking? It's between 100 and 500.
382.
What did you say?
He's just nailed it.
What did you say, Adam?
382.
How good's that? Adam, well done. That'll do. Of course, Jimmy Smith will be going off his nut now. Congratulations, Adam.
I have to ask, how did you come up with that?
Google.
That's all. He's an honest man. Hey, Adam, whereabouts are you, mate?
Oh, I'm in Canberra, mate.
Canberra. Is there event cinemas near you down there?
I think so, but I get to Sydney a bit, so it's all good.
Okay, we'll stay on the line. We'll get those tickets out to you. Congratulations, Adam. So I'm still in the game. So 2016, still there.
But so he could hear the question that I asked of Bunny Boy. So if you go second in the tiebreaker, you've got a massive advantage.
So the rort is already on, is that what you're saying? You know, Jimmy will be listening. We've got to listen to the podcast, and he'll be going off his nut. He'll be text messaging.
He's
going
the second one to get asked a question. His line should be...
Do you reckon he's got an advantage?
Should be well, he's got time to Google it.
Mm.
I've just found a flaw in the system. There you go.
Keeping it here.
Sorry,
Bunny
Boy.
Less than 2 hours, but I'll go with Adam. Hey, look, we've got this man on the line, the number one rugby league writer at the Daily Telegraph, as Jimmy loves to refer him to, a good friend of the program, Dean Bulldog Ritchie, on the line. Dino, good morning. And, well, we've been talking about it all morning. How good has the finals been so far?
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Mossy. Yeah, no, it's been fabulous. You couldn't have wished for three better games. I thoroughly enjoyed last night. I had a real semi-final feel to it. I watched the Warriors game. I thought at 12-2 there might be an upset looming, but the Panthers showed a bit of grit, which has been missing perhaps in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. So they are alive and kicking. And, of course, the absolute belter on Friday night down there in Melbourne. It was an absolute ripping game, and so far the final series has been totally lit up.
Bulldog, mate, the double-edged sword of that Melbourne Storm South game can be the bar is set so high, it's hard to beat it, including the grand final. Your thoughts on the final series in that regard?
Yeah, well, you're right, Mossy. It certainly set a high benchmark game one, didn't it? It would be very hard to beat that game. But, look, every game's got to be treated on its own merit. This afternoon, guys, I'm just heading to the airport now for the Dragons-Broncos game. I really hope that the Dragons can find something. Mm. They've been disappointing the last 6, 8 weeks. They look like they've hit the wall, but that first 3 months of the season, they were a tough, hard, grinding football team, which was perfectly suited to semi-final football. So if they can get back to that kind of a style and really grind it out, I give them some hope. But look, just based on form, you'd have to think that, like Dorma said a few moments ago, that the Broncos would win and win quite well.
And you think the effect of the Wayne Bennett soap opera this season, if you like, it's, you know, there's been a lot of commentary around will he stay, will he go. You know, do you think that'll have a positive effect on the Broncos going into this final series? Because you know there can be that cumulative effect over a season, if you like, and when the real pressure games hit, it goes one way or the other.
Yeah, it's a really funny question, Mossy. You've been a professional sportsman, so you could probably answer it better than me. I often wonder, though, whether players really do get affected by coach talk. They all say, we want our coach to stay, we love him, he's this, he's that. And then when he gets sacked, they turn up to train the next day, there's a new coach in charge, and they just, you know, they get on with life.
Mm.
Sometimes I think we overstate the importance a coach has on the welfare of players. They're pretty, I wouldn't say they're fickle, but they just do their job. They're professional. They get paid. And if Wayne Bennett goes at the end of the year, someone else will come in and they'll get about their business just as they always do. And quite clearly, the way the Broncos are playing, you know, the Bennett speculation about whether he'll be there next year hasn't impacted them on them at all.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Bulldog. And Ray, from my experience as a player and a coach, I think the difference is whether it's going to be a mid-season departure or at the end of the season. And if you look at Sydney FC last season with Graham Arnold, when all the speculation was around that he was going to go to the Socceroos and he was going to leave immediately, that did have an impact on the dressing room for a couple of weeks until he came out and announced that I'm not going now, it'll be at the end of the season, then everything settled down.
It's interesting
and on
how it affects players. Look at Penrith. With Seraldo been there a month and he's now got them two games out of the final, from a grand final.
You look at every club in the semis almost, right? Penrith had their issues. Seabold at South, there's a bit of speculation. There was a
good point,
talk about Bellamy, the talk about Wayne Bennett. It just keeps going round and round. So look, quite obviously, as I said, these players just have to have that steely resolve where they just shut out the outside noise and just get on with business.
Hey, Dino, before we get to changes in the Dragons Broncos game, can I ask you quickly about Widup's shoulder? I read a report where he's going to need to have surgery on that shoulder post season. So, how fit is he for today's game? And also, Wade Graham, any update there on that knee injury out of the Sharks' loss last night?
I rang the Sharks about 10 minutes ago, right? They didn't have any update. They were sending in the scans later this morning. So, they think by early afternoon they'll have more details. Just privately, though, they weren't overly confident that he would play again this year. But look, until the scans are confirmed, Ray, medically, we won't jump the gun. But certainly the private fear is that Wade may not play again this year. Widdop will play this afternoon, Ray. There is actually a bit of talk that he trained at fullback yesterday up there at Langlands Park for their captain's run in Brisbane. So I'm not quite sure where that leaves Matt Duffy. It would be a very surprising move in such a big game to rejig your halves. I'd be stunned if Paul McGregor went down that way. But look, everyone's carrying some bumps and bruises this year, Ray. He'll get needled up. He's a tough little Tommy. He'll be fine, mate.
Bulldog, no one's got their finger on the pulse more so than you, mate. Any changes to the teams for today's game that you know of?
Yeah, Alex Glenn goes out of that Brisbane side, Bossy, with a calf injury. Katoni Staggs onto the bench. And young 18-year-old David Fifita, a young star in the making. He will start in the back row. Corey Oates had a bit of tightness in his legs, didn't finish training, but he will play. The only concern for the Dragons, rather, is Jack DeBellin. He was in a moon boot on Tuesday. They haven't ruled him in or out. They're giving him literally up until the last hour, so no decision just yet. But I think we'll find DeBellin somehow will get out there on the field this afternoon at 4 o'clock when the game kicks off.
And your tip, Dino?
I think the Broncos will win well, Ray. I think they'll win by 18 to 20 points, to be truthful.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong, but the writing's on the wall. But hopefully the Dragons can pull something out. Hey, Dino, don't miss that plane, mate. Make sure you get there. And thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week, mate.
Thanks, Ray, boy. Thanks, boss. You have a great day, boys.
Good on you, mate.
See you, Dino. I hope he's wrong. I love the Dragons as well, but taking on the Broncos up there, probably 35,000-40,000
fans. I think Wayne Bennett, he is, for me, he's still the master coach, and there's been so much unfair commentary. I think he'll have the Broncos prime for this one, Ray. I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Fair enough, we'll wait and see. Hey, big last hour of the show, Camp. Johnny Gibbs, we all love